What a show! What a show off!
Pat, welcome back home, man. I can say home because you. How many years did you spend here, man?
Wow, yeah. I think
20, right?
Almost 20. Yeah, 98 is when I first moved here.
Yeah. Originally from Rochester, New York.
Yep.
And everything, but here's where you really kind of came around and did your apprenticeship, if you will.
Yep, I really cut my teeth here.
Yeah. Well, when we first met, you were just kind of fooling around with the organ, but you were a pretty impressive piano player.
Yeah, I was. You know, I always had a love of playing B3 and jazz organ, but I wasn't able to really do it full time or seriously at that point. But yeah, I was playing piano. I was very fortunate to come out after I had graduated from college in Boston and start playing at the Peck. So I was doing that four nights a week, and
Peck.
What an incredible experience that was.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because. Here we are talking all these years later, and of course, working at Herb's Hideaway on those crazy Tuesdays with the B3
yeah.
and Laura and so many older musicians, some who are no longer with us, who were, I'm sure, mentors like Ellen Rucker and others who are just fantastic
Billy
musicians.
Tolles.
Billy Tolles,
Matt Yarborough,
yeah, boy, memories,
really?
Memories.
What did that? You know, the Peck, as Denver goes, is kind of one of those real training grounds. I mean, mm-hmm. it's you know, sink or swim.
Yep, it was. And within my first few weeks, too, because as you know, many people know, Jerry Krantz had brought in a lot of special guests over the weekend.
That's right.
And I think the second or third weekend I was there, he brought in Red Holloway.
Oh.
And Red was a sweetheart.
Yeah.
But, of course, I was very familiar with Red Holloway. And I was, when I heard that Red was coming in, I was just kind of in shock because it's like, okay, I guess I'm jumping right into the fire here.
Yeah.
And, you know, all those legendary musicians that I got to play with there, I mean, I think Dakota State and, you know, Carl Fontana, a bunch of them. It was truly, you know, sink or swim kind of situation. And, you know, learn quick, and I'm so grateful for that opportunity, especially looking back on it after all these years.
Yeah, because there was really no time for rehearsals.
Nope.
It was just call out the songs, and, you know,
yep.
You just needed to know them. Well, here you are all these years later, 9 CD releases as a leader. Of course, you've toured all over this country and Europe and a lot of other jazz festivals, and I've recently opening for Steely Dan as well.
Yeah, we did three years. Steely Dan would do a run on the East Coast during the fall months. And so I was fortunate enough to be recommended for that. And we would do like a half hour, 40-minute set ahead of Steely Dan at places like the Beacon Theater and, you know, Boston, the Orpheum Theater. And I would have different trios we'd be playing. And you know, that was an incredible experience,
of course,
meeting Donald Fagen and getting to hang out with him a little bit, who was a huge lover of jazz as well. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, we've got a couple things that we play from Senor Fagen as well.
I'm sure, yeah.
We do. You work with Lou Donaldson, too, man. Talk about an old master there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was amazing, yeah.
Wow. It just goes on and on and on. You're back in town and doing the trio thing with Troy Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, another Denverite born and raised here, the Colin Stranahan.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a lot of fun, too.
Yeah. So Troy Roberts. Now, Troy is a saxophonist who's starting to really get that international accolades as well. Originally, I think, from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Worked with Joey DeFrancesco, who you were very close to.
Yes, yep. Worked with Joey and Jeff Watts and a lot of great people.
That's right. Wow. That's impressive.
So do you all travel together? Is that your trio, or do you put together a different group, different drummer and sax and all that?
It kind of goes in phases with different projects, so to speak. For a long time, I have done trios with drummer Byron Landham and Paul Ballenbeck, you know, who worked with Joey for a long time. And I just decided have another group, another trio to add to the mix. It's something somewhat of a different vibe. So I'm trying to, you know, do something with, you know, Colin. We had talked about, you know, during the pandemic, we were in touch a lot, obviously, and talked about doing some more playing together. And Troy, who I've known, I was actually introduced to Troy by Greg Gisbert. We had done a gig together with Rudy Royston, who's also from here. We had played Dizzy's for a few nights, and that's where I first met Troy many years ago. We also have been great friends through the years and done a lot of playing, so I thought it would be a fun trio that's different from the organ, guitar, drum sound to more of a thing that's a little more open with a tenor saxophone. You know, so it's just, you know, I try to keep certain groups going, but you know, also trying to just put out different bands to do slightly different things, you know, to have out there, you know, for people to listen to.
Well, yesterday we were noting the birthday of Christian McBride and brought up his webpage, and the contest was, if we would have had a contest, it would have been, how many groups does this man actually front and play? And he had like 9 different bands that he loves, that are his groups.
Yeah.
From big bands to different trio configurations, quartets.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know how he does it.
It's amazing. It really is.
Yeah, so, but this one here with Troy Roberts and not having the guitars, it's got to be, like you say, get that different sound, more open sound.
Exactly. You know, and you play differently. And, you know, looking at it from the music business standpoint, it's like you can't do the same thing all the time. You have to evolve and do different things.
Sure, sure. So. Well, another thing that I learned that I didn't know, you know, I know that you were teaching a jazz organ at the Berklee College of Music, and but the interesting thing that got my attention was that the curriculum is one of the first Hammond organ programs and official majors offered by an institution of higher learning, and so. I mean, is that, how rare is that?
That's, new thing, I mean, for sure.
Yeah. You know? So you can go to the school and get a degree in Hammond B3?
Mm-hmm. there's at Berklee now, they have a couple really great gospel teachers that are, you know, if you really want to get into that, you could do a major in Hammond with that kind of focus. Uh-huh. Or if you want to do something with jazz, I've been working a lot on developing different levels and working on different things and building up requirements, you know, to get that, you know, because it's not a common instrument, obviously, but there is interest. So it's just putting all that together. You know?
So in the classroom, I would imagine there's a B3 in there, and you got some Jimmy Smith records hanging around, how do you approach somebody coming to the class for the first time?
Well, for the classroom, I tell people this, and they're always kind of blown away by it. I have a big room. And there's 7 B3s in the room.
Wow.
Me plus, and there's mine, and then there's 6 others. And that's for group classes, which is always interesting to try to not have everybody play at the same time, obviously.
But why not?
You know, it sounds great at 8 in the morning, you know, just, you know. So, you know, and it's just, I have recordings and things that they listen to and things written out that try to play private lessons, you know, 2 B3s and things like that. Try to work things out. So,
Pat Bianchi is on stage tonight at Dazzle at Bowers at 7:00. Man, thank you for a beautiful, wonderful alternative to the other nonsense going on in this wonderful city that you used to call home. Man, it's good to have you back.
It's great to be back.
Yeah.
So the last thing I have for you, Pat, Sirius XM Radio. Are you still hosting that weekly show called Organized?
Yep.
And featuring the greats of jazz organ. I didn't know you'd gotten into radio, man.
I'm
giving you a plug here.
I appreciate that. I could say that's a huge learning experience. Yeah. You know, I mean, I was honored to be asked to do it because that was the show that Joe DeFrancesco had created and hosted for years.
Yeah, yeah.
And stepping into that, I mean, from the standpoint of obviously filling those shoes was a huge responsibility. But being a musician and being where I am and is a different thing than what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
And to form a complete sentence and not screw it up and record it, that's like a whole other level of stuff for me, you know. But picking the music, the pacing, the whole thing, that's a whole art I've learned, you know. So it'll take me still to this point, it's a 1-hour show, it'll take me 6 hours to figure it out every
really?
Week.
Really?
Yeah.
My goodness.
We'll fix it in post, as they say.
Well, I have to do pre-post everything. I do it from my house and set it up and... You know, so it's a great learning experience.
Well, maybe we can lend you Abby for a week or two next time she goes back to. She's from upstate New York.
Oh, yeah, originally, actually, I lived in Rochester for 5 years. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding.
You get the drift. It's 9:13. Pat Bianchi's in the house. We're getting ready to get into this next piece. You know, it wouldn't be a complete interview with you without me noting your work with the great Pat Martino. I know you're very close to Pat.
Yeah.
everything. And Pat was definitely old school kind of cat. I had a couple opportunities to sit at the end of the bar and have a, and share a beer with him and just listen, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was such a cool guy. And this tune we're about to play, Mr. PM, you composed it for Pat Martino.
Yeah.
Any story you want to share with you and Mr. Martino?
Oh, there's so many stories, but the thing behind the tune was... Yeah. I forget the record off the top of my head. It was too early in the morning, but when he recorded Lazy Bird, somebody had played me that recording of him playing Lazy Bird when I was in college, and that's the first time I heard Pat, and it blew me away. It was like, wow, you know. So when I was doing this record, and he was kind enough to play on the record, you know, I wrote this tune, which is basically a contrafact or a melody written over the chord changes of Lazy Bird. And, I mean, I was just so grateful because he... I knew for a fact that he said no to recording for a lot of people through the years. I knew I worked in this band for almost 10 years, and he would rarely do it. But he was, without even hesitation, he said, I'd be happy to record on your record. You know?
Wow.
So, and that was the working band with Carmen and Tori on drums, who was on that track as well. So.
Yeah, yeah. That was the one that came through with All Italian. Yeah, the All Italian trio, right?
Exactly. It was never planned. It just had to sort of happen that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pat, thanks, man.
Thank you so much, Carlos. Thank you. It's great to be here.
You're always welcome.
Thank you.
And let's check it out. Mr. PM with Pat Martino. It's Pat Bianchi on Kubo Jazz.